At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to the Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson. With me in the studio is Ron Hicks, and we're going to talk about religious freedom. Ron, as a pastor, I know this issue is near and dear to your heart.
Yes, sir.
If we did not have religious freedom,
I'd be an outlaw.
You'd be an outlaw.
I've been an outlaw before. I'd still be an outlaw.
And we wouldn't want that. We don't want to see that. We're happy with the new Ron Hicks, right?
Amen. So, amen.
But religious freedom has been a big question in this period of physical distancing. Many churches and church leaders have pushed against that, saying, look, the government has no authority to tell us not to meet in person. And you and I have had several conversations about this, both in person, personal, private conversations, and some public. But tell us, where are you with that? Does the church, should the government have that authority in the name of, let me restate this.
Okay. All right.
In the name of preserving public health and to slowing the spread of a potentially deadly disease, does the government have the authority to tell churches to not meet in person?
I think the only time that the government could say that a church should not meet in person is if no gathering of any individual is legal.
Okay.
Yesterday I stood in line at Lowe's, 6 feet apart from other folks, and this is not an endorsement of that company. I'm just, you know, we're buying some plants there, because during this whole thing, you know, they're the industry that thrives, home improvement, and we social distancing, and they had marks on the floor and all the rest of that. As I was standing there, I'm thinking to myself, if we had similar pieces of tape on our sidewalk to say, as you enter, if we had somebody that was holding the door open and we had marks on the pews that were 6 feet apart, we would be as much in compliance as Lowe's, McDonald's, and all the rest of that. Because quite frankly, even though there were X's on the floor, there was nobody monitoring that.
Right.
There was a big sign also in the front that says, pursuant to whatever Governor Beshear's thing, only one family member at a time come in.
Yeah.
Well, both my wife and I walked in. I guess I'm still a renegade. And then you saw families walking around.
This is right.
Hey, listen, I'm guilty. So whatever the fine is, so the answer to your question is if McDonald's drive-through is essential, then as long as I meet all the criteria of any other business, and if I could do that, and a church could, and yet we still can't meet, then yes, that's infringing on my religious liberties. And in any resident of the state of Kentucky, any resident of the United States, because the First Amendment says the government will not establish a religion nor prohibit the free exercise thereof.
That's right.
And if a governor says, and the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together, as some are in the habit of doing, but it talks about continuing in the scripture to be able to assemble together to encourage one another. So there are Christians who are desperately missing the encouragement of other believers, other folks who say, hey, I'm in this with you. And they go to McDonald's and they go to all these stores where people are buying grass seeds and bird feeders and all the rest of it. And they're like, how is that okay?
That's right.
But we can't go to church.
And that's where, so, I agree with you in the beginning when this order was applied to all, not just churches, all large gatherings, then it's not a religious freedom violation.
Right.
That's where I came down.
Mm-hmm.
And I still am there. I think the intent of the governor and of other authorities is right, that they want to preserve life. They want to slow the spread of this. That's good. And as good community members, churches should be mindful of that. We want to try to abide by what our leaders are doing and what they're saying to preserve life. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But the problem is that 6-8 weeks into this, we're seeing other places that have been open where there are gatherings. Now, they're not sitting in church at a church service, but there's still people in close proximity.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the Lowe's that you mentioned and other home improvement stores. The drive-through at the restaurants is open, and some other things like that. But when we see how close people have been in these other areas, it's very difficult for pastors to say, "Hey, we could do social distancing measures in our congregations to help slow the spread." And because of that, there is some real frustration out there, Ron. We're seeing in Virginia where the governor there really overstepped, in my opinion. There was a pastor of a church on Chincoteague Island. I actually lived not very far from there. I lived in Virginia Beach when I went to graduate school a few years ago. Actually, more than a few years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you originally went a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was more than a few. That was, I won't say how long ago it was. But Chincoteague is on the, it's a barrier island on Virginia. And Pastor Kevin Wilson of Lighthouse Fellowship Church filed a lawsuit against Virginia's Governor Ralph Northam because Northam had issued a citation to him for having a church service. It was either Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday. I think it was Palm Sunday. But he held a church service where 16 people attended. They were spread out throughout the church, so they were practicing social distancing there. The sanctuary could house almost 300 people, but the church is charged with violating the Governor Northam's COVID Order 55, and the pastor faces up to 1 year in jail and or a $2,500 fine.
That will never pass. But just the irritation of having to go through all that, and this pastor is going to have to get an attorney and all that. The reason that we're not meeting as a church is not because the governor has said to us, don't meet. When this first happened, and I discovered that people, the elderly, they have like a 15% mortality rate, I literally got our church rolls out. Yeah. And I thought to myself, which 15, what 15% can we do without? And when I decided we can't do without anybody, we're listening to medical professionals. We're listening to the Kentucky Department for Health and Family Services and those places who say, I think that's the terminology. I called our local health department. Yeah. I called emergency management people, and they say just for the safety of people, stay apart, not because of the governor's order, because I don't think the governor can say churches can't meet and you can still go shopping at a home improvement store. I do not see how those two things are, because churches are highly, highly organized entities. To be able to get all those people in and out in the amount of time, take care of your kids, make sure safety of the, I think we can handle it as good as McDonald's. I'm pretty sure. Not as good as Chick-fil-A, because
Chick-fil-A is superior in a lot of categories.
In every single category.
So is that a commercial for Chick-fil-A?
Listen, we ate there last night. So if I get a plug to Lowe's, I got to give a shout out to Chick-fil-A.
We'd love for Chick-fil-A to be a sponsor of this program.
No
so
kidding.
Maybe one of the Chick-fil-A owners is
listening. Ooh, free sandwiches? Sorry.
Yeah. Ron, I like where this is going. Unfortunately, we need to take a quick break, but let's pick up on the other side, pick up on this topic of how should the church respond to social distancing or physical distancing in light of how far along we are.
Okay.
We are 8 weeks into this, and we see some contradictions, and how should we respond? Mm-hmm. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Richard Nelson with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that we're in a challenging time. Our routines have been disrupted, and we can no longer meet in person for church, at least at the moment. Even though we're not meeting in church, please remember that your church still has bills to pay. The pastor and ministry team, the mortgage and utilities all need to be paid. So please remember to financially support your church as you're able. In times of financial strain, giving tends to decrease, but ministry continues. If you are able to make a donation of any size, please do so today. They could sure use your help. Remember, we're all in this together, and by God's grace, He'll bring us through it. And may God bless each of you in the meantime. Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. and we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.
Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson, here with Ron Hicks, and we're talking about religious freedom in this time of physical distancing and whether or not the state has overstepped its authority by, first of all, ordering churches to not meet in person. But then second of all, there's this intimidation factor. We just, in the prior segment, talked about the church in Virginia that's filing a lawsuit against Governor Ralph Northam for issuing a fine of up to $2,500 and a one-year jail term for this pastor that held a service with 16 people. They were spread out in their congregation. The worship area could hold up to 300 people. They were spread out, and yet the pastor was issued a citation. He is suing on the grounds that he had religious freedom rights to have that service. And Ron, one of my concerns is the look that the state has when they do that. I see that as bullying. I see that as coercion. There's a threat, and any time the state comes close to that line, I get cautious. I don't want to see the state do that. I want to see them work with the churches. I want to see them communicate closely with the churches. But when they start issuing fines and then threaten jail, I don't think so.
Well, and isn't it curious that when the religious community gets this close to politics, then there's this huge, whoa, separation of church and state, separation of First Amendment.
I wish people could see your hands
I'm waving frantically. jazz hands. but when it's the other way around, those people aren't saying, whoa, you know, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. You know, we were talking about in a previous program, our governor quoted scripture or did his best to quote scripture in justifying the separation and all. Again, my whole thing is you cannot suggest that a certain segment of the population can continue to be essential. People's faith, attending their places of worship, is a fundamental right of the in our Constitution, the freedom of religion. And so, to suggest that we aren't—that's not an essential right.
Let me push on that. Freedom of religion is spelled out in the Constitution.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
the freedom to go shopping at Lowe's
is not
spelled out.
No.
Freedom to go to the drive-through at the restaurant, Chick-fil-A or McDonald's, not spelled out.
Life and liberty. Yeah, I guess maybe it fall under it, but vaguely. But the whole idea, it's lettered out in the Constitution that the government will not infringe on the free exercise thereof, and I believe our government has.
Ron, not far from where we are recording this program, there was a state trooper parked on the bypass, in the median on a bypass, monitoring people who went into a church. Mm-hmm. This is on Easter Sunday.
Yep.
The church actually is a mutual friend of ours
yes.
who uh-huh. pastors this church. They were having a drive-in service where people would stay in their vehicles. He was going to get on a platform and speak from there. But the idea was they're still getting together.
Yeah.
They're even though they're in their cars and spaced so many feet apart, they were still gathering and trying to abide by the governor's orders. But it was intimidating to have the state trooper out there monitoring what was going on, and apparently he was supposed to see if people were going to go inside. That is still intimidating. We saw in Louisville, where the state troopers were taking down license plate numbers of people who went inside. There was one church that did have an in-person service. They felt it was their religious freedom mm-hmm. rights to do so.
Mm-hmm.
The state police took down license plate numbers. Those names, their license plates were linked to names, and then they were given to the health department, and they were supposed to be in quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of police. I'm a chaplain for both the city police department and the county sheriff's department. I am a police supporter with every ounce of my energy. However, the citizens of our country do not need to be intimidated by a police car.
That's right.
I'd have waved to that state trooper as I drive right past. You know, hey, can I bring you a cup of coffee or whatever? That would not have intimidated me.
Yeah.
In our church, if we were having service, practicing all the COVID thing, and police came in to disrupt the service, we have folks that would that would handle that as anybody coming in and trying to disrupt the service.
Right.
Not suggesting that we would be at odds with the, but that would not be an intimidating thing because we live in a country where we have the freedom. And if they try to impose some sort of a penalty, you know, it's just going to be an irritation. But how in the world could anything like that stand?
Yeah, and that's where the state needs to be extremely careful in overreach, the appearance of overreach, any appearance of coercion, any appearance of bullying. It's that's why I think with some of the previous actions, I think it's intimidation when you have a state trooper parked outside of a church.
An attempted intimidation, yes. Yeah, but
I think it was intimidating.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
If you want to
sure,
split hairs, sure. I think it's intimidating. If I was to go to a church and see my church on a Sunday morning, there's a state trooper there, I would be like, "What, dude, what's he doing?"
Yeah.
Maybe some people wouldn't be intimidated.
Well, maybe my familiarity with the police department, I'm maybe more, I don't know. I would wonder why they were there.
We're going to split hairs here.
Yeah.
So, but what about, state troopers getting license plate numbers off of vehicles? Is that intimidating?
Well, I understand where you're going. I guess, okay.
So some people would see, some may yes, not, some
yeah,
would.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. The protection of our religious freedom is spelled out in the Constitution. We want to, as churches and ministry leaders, we want to follow the governor's lead. We want to be good citizens and obey the law. But the government, I would say, at this point, because of the constitutional protections that we have, needs to be extremely careful. They need to go above and beyond to work with churches, to reach out to those churches that might be in disagreement, and to be empathetic.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yes, and I agree with you completely. Our governor, who has said it would be irresponsible for us to have in-person church services, has allowed the only abortion clinic in the state to stay open, and apparently you can do an abortion 6 feet away.
Yeah.
Or
right. So it's a contradiction.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where I say it's an illegal order. Yeah. Now, again, the reason that we're not having in service right now has zero to do with what the governor has said, and everything to do with us wanting to minimize with our church members. And we figured out how to be able to communicate with them on a daily basis through social media to be able to put our church services out there. Yeah. We're talking about having a drive up service just for the morale of the church members to be able to see each other and be encouraged each other in a couple of weeks. That we're not meaning because the governor has decreed it, because I think it's unconstitutional.
Right. That's good. And I appreciate your perspective, Ron. That's why we do these programs. You're a deep thinker, and you want to think principally, though, too.
Absolutely.
What does the Constitution say? What does Scripture say? You brought the passage up about do not forsake the assembling of the brethren.
Yeah.
And that's important for believers.
Absolutely.
That we gather weekly, that we sit under the teaching of the Word, that we worship together. And I know a lot of people are missing that. At the same time, you are seeing alternative services online, Facebook Live and YouTube services. And we're reaching, I think a lot of pastors are reaching a segment of the population that hasn't been reached. That's some of the good that we're seeing come from this.
Well, there's no doubt.
That's not the ideal.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the whole idea of not being able to meet together, even if we follow the same guidelines as the companies and the businesses that stay open. And that is a discrimination.
That's a good point. Ron, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about Attorney General Daniel Cameron's threat to file a lawsuit against Governor Beshear's order unless he allows in-person religious meetings.
Okay.
So stay tuned, and we'll be back in a minute.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky. It's clear that we're in a challenging time. Our routines have been disrupted, and we can no longer meet in person for church, at least for the moment. Even though we're not meeting in church, please remember that your church still has to pay its bills. The pastor and ministry team, the mortgage and utilities all need to be paid. So please remember to financially support your church as you are able. If you're able to make a donation of any size, please do so today. They could certainly use your help. Remember, we are all in this together, and by God's grace, He will bring us through it. And may God bless each of you today.
Welcome to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson, here with Ron Hicks, and we are talking religious freedom. And just before the break, I'd mentioned that Attorney General Daniel Cameron had a press conference, and he is calling on Governor Andy Beshear to end his, and this is quote, targeting of faith-based gatherings during the pandemic. Daniel Cameron is asking Beshear to allow these in-person gatherings so long as they follow CDC guidelines.
Sure.
Ron, we have been talking about some of the contradictions. You have places like Walmart, home improvement stores like Lowe's and Home Depot open. You've got restaurants, fast food restaurant, drive-in windows open. And many Christians who are out and about are saying, hey, people are pretty close inside these stores. And if
the
they
drive
can be
in, you're bumper to bumper. You're not at a drive in to a restaurant. You are not 6 feet apart from the car. You are bumper to bumper in that checkout
line.
You're
getting the food from the person. You're sometimes touching their hands. You're exchanging cash.
Yes.
You're touching. So people are saying, hey, why is that safer than us not meeting in a, or if we would meet in a church service? And so Daniel Cameron has received a lot of emails and phone calls. People asking him to restore the constitutional rights of churches or to acknowledge them as essential.
I was going to say, not restore, because he has no power to take it.
Thanks for correcting me. To consider them essential services and to allow them to meet, just like the other big box stores or the grocery stores are
absolutely
allowed to meet.
Absolutely.
Well.
The practice of my faith is as important to me as any other aspect of my life. Now, do I have to, you know, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, since I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there's always two. But I think to suggest that a person can determine whether or not let me have a little tangent here. First Amendment right to speech. You can't holler fire in a crowded movie theater, right, because it'll cause harm. And somebody suggested, well, you suspend in that moment their freedom of speech. You can't just say anything you want to. And I've heard people say it's the same principle. If you allow church services to happen, then you would be putting those people in just as much danger. That would be a true statement if you say you disregard every single outline that the CDC has said. You would disregard every single precautionary measure. Just pack the church as full as you can, shoulder to shoulder, people coughing and sneezing and all the rest of that, and hugging and all the rest of that. Then you're right. Then you would be irresponsible. We're not saying that. We're saying we would follow the exact same guidelines as the CDC has set up. And by doing that then, and still saying that you can't meet together, well, then that's not preserving your rights. It's actually infringing upon them.
Listen to what Daniel Cameron said, and this is a little bit dated. But he said this at the press conference: "The First Amendment provides the citizens of this country with the specific enumerated right to practice their religious beliefs, free from targeting and discrimination. By specifically banning faith-based mass gatherings, while allowing other secular organizations and activities to continue operation, Governor Beshear has deliberately targeted religious groups. This pattern of targeting continued when the governor ordered state police to track the license plates of those who attended a faith-based gathering on Easter Sunday. And it continues even this week as he allows some businesses to resume operation."
Yeah, yeah.
So Daniel Cameron is seeing this inconsistency there. He's saying, look, if you have other businesses and large gatherings.
You see it and I see it and everybody sees it, yeah.
So he is coming down in favor of churches, and by the time this program gets out, there may have been a lawsuit filed already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that as Christians, Ron, I want us to proceed carefully. Yes, we want to maintain our religious freedom. We should appeal to the Constitution. We should appeal to those who are in office to preserve our rights. On the other hand, we want to remain good citizens. We want to be wise about what we can do to stop the spread of this. We want to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I think if my place where I am right now, my opinion is that if we use wisdom and if we have certain precautions, look, if you're sick, don't go out. If you're going to have a gathering, I think it's good to have a mask on and gloves, or just be careful. Don't touch, don't shake hands, don't hug. I think there are certain precautions that we can do. If you're elderly, probably don't want to go out in a mass gathering. But there's certain things that can be done to allow us to meet.
As much as any other place is able to meet the CDC requirements, a church is able to, and probably more effectively. Even during the flu season in our church, we have the hand sanitizer things, and we tell everybody we're not going to do the fist bump, and so we take those sort of precautions all the time. So
this is interesting. One of the CDC guidelines, and I was on their website earlier today trying to read through, and they've got a lot of guidelines for churches and religious groups. But according to one credible group, they said this: the federal government has made crystal clear to all state and local authorities that per CDC guidelines, churches may accept or reject any of the CDC guidelines as they see fit and in accordance with their beliefs, and that governments may not interfere with those decisions. I went through the CDC webpage, could not find this specific language, but this seems to be consistent with the First Amendment that, hey, we've got these guidelines, we'd like you to follow them, but we're not, as a government entity, we're not going to interfere with those decisions. Again, I think that churches should process through this carefully. We want to be a good neighbor. We want to love our love our community, love our neighbors as ourselves, but be wise about your own congregation. We started this conversation out with you looking at the roles of Henderson Memorial Baptist Church, and you were wondering how many people could you spare. You've got a lot of elderly people here.
We do.
And you did not want to put them in a place of vulnerability.
Not even one.
And I appreciate that. You're taking on a leadership role and you're caring for your flock. And I think that's the place that is ministry leaders, you look out for your flock.
You know what, though? And as we're talking, our minister of music, Jamie Worley, I am such a fan of his. And on our YouTube channel, he puts stuff out. He records the music for our services. He and another member of our church. And my wife and I on Sunday, we sit and we listen to it and we sing along, but it's just not the same as being in there and hearing everybody else's voice combining, singing praises of the Lord. So it's not the same.
It's not. And I agree. I've been participating in my congregation's Facebook Live services, but it's not.
No.
And we're all looking forward to getting back to those in-person services. And I think, Ron, it'll be here before we know it. Hey, brother, we are out of time.
Oh,
we're
going
to
have to close out this segment. Fun. No kidding.
Man, I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
God bless. You have a good day.